Hello and welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. I'm your co-host for today's show, Aaron Richards, joined here in the illustrious Damascus Media Studio by my friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite. Welcome, Dan.
Hello, Aaron. It's good to be here today.
It's good to be here today. It's been a while since the two of us have sat face-to-face at this table.
Oh, yes. It's a good day indeed.
Friends, super pumped for today's show. If you're new to Beyond Damascus, like I said, this is the show where encounter meets mission. You remember the story of St. Paul, who on the road to Damascus encountered Jesus himself. His life in that moment was transformed forever. And he was launched from a place of faith into a place of faith that had come alive in mission, right? We see the story of St. Paul. It transformed dramatically on that day, as recounted in Scripture on a number of occasions. And that's our goal here in the show, that we would talk about and reflect upon and give testimony to the fact that when we enter into a life of encounter with Jesus, that its next step, its next logical step, is a life of mission where we are truly, truly transformed. So, Dan, you want to kick us off in prayer today?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would transform our minds and our hearts to be dedicated to mission, that like St. Paul, our encounter with you would transform us so that our lifestyle had a new purpose and a new meaning.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray that you would set us on a new direction. I pray, Lord, for all of our listeners who been working and laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, who are tired and heavy burdened, and that burden would be lifted off of their shoulders, that they would just be re-energized, reinvigorated today on this show. I pray, Lord, that you would infuse a missionary zeal and a passion,
Lord,
in their hearts.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we're so blessed for the opportunity that we have to partner with you. When we partner with you, everything in our life is better.
Yes.
So, Jesus, give us the grace to say yes to the mission that you've called us to. And if that word's foreign to any of our listeners today, I pray that you would transform our hearts, that we could come to know you better through the call that you've placed on our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Dan, you and I just walked out of, for the sake of all our listeners coming to know, you and I just walked out of what is an awesome day of orientation and training on mission with our with how many, 35 members of our missionary staff.
Yeah.
And what an incredible morning it's already been. I'm so convicted again, just the life in that room as all of these men and women who have truly given their yes to the Lord in varieties of radical ways here at Damascus and Centerburg. And what an inspiring day as we're putting together kind of the ideas for today's show. That's sort of the direction we're heading, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think, you know, when we encounter Jesus Christ, Jesus launches us onto a mission. And for some people, they encounter Jesus and they get super passionate and they want others to know who Jesus is. And they kind of are like a shooting star where they get really, they fired up and they burn really bright and really big. And then as quick as it came, it's gone. And it's just this burning passion that fades away. And today we kind of want to talk about just the how to be more like the sun that rises and shines like rises every day and is consistent, it's steady, it's burning, it's powerful, and it gives light to the nations.
That's
and
awesome.
As missionaries who have encountered Jesus, we want to give light to the nations, not in a fast burnout kind of way, but in a steady, everyday kind of way.
Yeah.
And I would say for most people who listen to Catholic radio, you probably have had an encounter with Jesus to some extent in your life, and you've probably wandered into mission at some point in your life as well. You're probably like, okay, I've started my life down the, like trying to get involved in my parish or forming a men's group or a women's group or teaching at a religious ed class, and you get involved in the mission of the church, and then sometimes that burns brightly over a long period of times, and sometimes it kind of burns out, and you're a little beat up and you're tired. And so today we just want to encourage our listeners and really give a vision for how to burn brightly day after day, consistently with a missionary zeal for the sake of the kingdom that just never wanes.
Yeah. Well, as you're saying that, I love how you use the example of the sun, right? Because you're not We're not suggesting compromise here,
no.
Right? We're not suggesting that, hey, in lieu of burning brightly and burning out, let's burn slowly and efficiently.
Which I hate that phrase. It's a marathon, not a sprint. No, what if like this? Just be burn
just,
bright.
Just sprint forever.
Yeah. Yeah, because like if you're like, oh, it's a marathon, that means I can just be lazy or
not
yeah.
That, but not the marathon runners are lazy.
No, not at all. I definitely have not ran that far. But that idea of like, yeah, the sun burns like day after day with the same amount of intensity.
Yeah.
And I think a great way to set this up is just to look at the parable of the 10 virgins, from Matthew 25, or, as some Bibles call it, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. But let's just look, I just want to start today with reading that. It says in Matthew 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all of the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went out with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I do not know you. I tell you, I do not know you." Right? So, Aaron, that is kind of a intense like gospel. It's one of the end times parables that the Lord gives, and it's one of those like, okay, what's the Lord saying here? Right?
Sometimes I feel happy, other times I feel miserable.
I know, it's like, okay, so the bridegroom comes, and some get to go into heaven, and some the door is shut. And I just want to kind of break open this today, because I think that this is one of those parables that often gets lost in the shuffle. And I think a lot of times even Jesus's end time parables, they're like, okay, that's cute, but I'm going to heaven because I'm already a Catholic. And we can kind of just like write off the end time parables as this is actually meant for the people who aren't in the church, right? Or who aren't living their life for Jesus. And this parable is unique in that, no, there are other parables that Jesus gives about the end times that are for those who aren't in the church, like the weed is in the wheat. And he talks about like the wheat has to be thrown out and burn up, right? And the wheat is selected. This parable is actually different though, because this is directed towards people who are like living lives of mission. They're virgins. And so the parable is about 10 different virgins, meaning that these are 10 different people who've
committed
in the church.
Yeah, who've committed themselves to the pursuit of the Lord.
Yeah, and at one point they were living lives of holiness, right? There's that idea of virginity is this idea that there's some kind of cleanliness, right? That they've maintained a level of holiness. And so this isn't about those who are far off and pagan and who are living lives of insane corruption, right? The Lord's actually speaking, I think, to all of us that are members of the church here, and he wants to give us a good apostolic warning. And then the other interesting thing is in this parable, they all have a lamp. And the lamp represents, if you will, the ministry that they do, the mission work that they do. Hmm. So all of us at our baptism are given a white cloak to show that virginity, right? And we're also given a candle at our baptism. So he's speaking here of us, the baptized, who have received the white cloak of baptism and the candle that we carry to be the light of the world. I love how baptism is not simply about us being holy, but it's also about us being missionary.
Yeah.
That Jesus says that you are the light of the world, and a light shines so that all in the house can see it. You're not put under a bushel basket, right? That we all have this ministry that we're called to. And the other interesting thing is that they they all fell asleep, and all 10 of them. And I think that sometimes I think it's just a good teaching from Jesus that at some point we're all going to get tired, and it's impossible to assume that never in our spiritual life will we have complacency, never in our spiritual life will we have a moment of weariness or tiredness, but that we're all going to go through times in our life with Jesus where we're burning really bright, and then maybe those times where we're not burning so bright, and that's okay. And the Lord says, hey, I want to speak to you. And I don't know, maybe some of our listeners right now, you're in a time where you're burning really bright, and the Lord wants to speak to you to give you kind of wisdom on how not to burn out. And for those who may not be burning as bright as you once were, the Lord wants to say, hey, here's a message for you on your call to burn again.
Yeah. I love the, you were talking about in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus talks about the light set upon the hill, right? The city set on a hill, the light under the bushel basket. He talks about the salt of the earth, right? That when the Lord calls us to a particular mission, he gets really close to making it almost as if this is a part of our identity.
Yeah.
Like our fundamental identity that, you know, a light doesn't have the choice of not shining, right? Salt doesn't have the choice of not tasting. We were built in a particular way for mission.
Yeah.
Even in Jeremiah's gospel, right? You know, those beautiful identity affirming valuation words of I knew you in, like before you were before I knit you in your mother's womb.
Yeah,
that the phrase that Jeremiah uses, it actually identifies that I knit you together for a particular work that prior to even our conception. That God had in mind a particular mission for which he designed us. Mm. So it's so cool as we identify just those themes, those ideas that we are made for a particular mission. This isn't just the circumstance.
Yeah.
That we're in a particular day.
It's part of our baptismal identity. I mean, that phrase, you are the light of the world. That's an identity statement. Like you are a son of God and you are the light of the world. It's not you are a light of the world. You are the light of the world, he says to us. Like we are meant, and that city on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It's almost like, are you kidding me? Like, why would, is it set on a lampstand where it gives light to all the house? He's kind of like, yeah, of course. Like a light loses its function if it doesn't provide light.
Yeah.
And a Christian loses its function if it doesn't do, if he or she doesn't do mission, right?
Yep.
And ministry that we've got to be the light of the world in order to truly be a Christian. And in verse 16, Matthew 5:16, he says, just so let your light must shine before others. He doesn't say your light should or can. It must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father, right? Mm-hmm. That they need to see our good deeds, that we need to shine for them to see. So I think this is a parable for all of us. So we've been given this light, and there are some who they were ready when the bridegroom came, their light was still shining, and others when the bridegroom came, their light was no longer shining. It's very interesting too, because when I first read this, I was kind of scandalized because you hear this just beautiful, first of all, this beautiful cry, like at midnight, there is a shout, look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Like, this should be like so awesome and exciting. If you're a Christian, this is like the best moment of Christianity. Like, yes, the Lord is coming, right? He's here. Everything I've longed for is here. But some weren't ready for that. And it's interesting because they're like, give us some of your oil for our lamps are going out. But the wise saying reply, no, there will not be enough oil for you and for us. And when I first read this, I was like, wait, that's kind of rude.
Like, you should, selfish jerks.
Yeah, like you're highlighting these wise virgins as like the ones that are ready for the bridegroom to come, and yet they're not willing to share their oil. And when you think, like, I started to meditate on that, like, why, Like, why is it that they didn't share their oil? And I think the Lord is speaking to something of the fact that, like, the oil of intimacy with God is something you can't share. It's not something that, like, I can't share my the time in the secret place of prayer that I've cultivated over years, right? I can share the fruit of it. Yeah. But I can't share. There's certain things in our relationship with God that you just can't you can't give to others because it just takes time to cultivate. And I think it's really important for us to know that, you know, if we've been running from the secret place, that quiet room with the Lord, that's part of the oil that burns in us to prepare us for when the Lord comes. I was also thinking really during this time of, like, the world kind of got unsettled during COVID. And I was thinking about, like, what is the Lord looking for when he comes again, right? My guess is in different times, when the Lord comes, it's going to be a pretty unsettling time. And there's going to be, even before the Lord comes, there will be a lot of unsettling times. And perhaps in the coming decades, there's going to be some drastically unsettling times for us as Christians. And what's the Lord looking for there? I think it's a bridegroom kind of intimacy, where, you know, he's not necessarily, I think a lot of times we use war language, like, we need to be ready for battle. But the Lord's highlighting here at the end, he's looking for bridegroom intimacy. And there's something about that where bridegroom intimacy means I'm not going anywhere. You know, like, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, husbands and wives are sticking it out together. And that idea of no matter what comes in the next decade, no matter what comes in the next 100 years, like, I'm not going anywhere, that we're with the Lord no matter what. And it's almost like bridegroom intimacy goes beyond the emotions, right? Yeah. As well.
That's awesome. I hope you're excited for what lies in store for the rest of today's show. We're looking through the lens of this beautiful parable of the 10 virgins. And we're asking that question, how is it that I can truly expect of myself, that I can ask of myself to be on mission all the time for the rest of my life, that this could be something that's sustainable and inspiring and life-giving every day. Because as you know, here at Beyond Damascus, we like to say, it's almost a tagline, every single one of us is called to a life of full-time ministry, whether you work in the church, whether you work in a school, whether you work in the workplace, whether you work in the home, right? That every single one of us is called to a life of full-time ministry. The question is, how is it that we're called to effectively live that out?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining today for Beyond Damascus. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to dive a little deeper into how to burn brightly without burning out.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We should pray because prayer is conversation with God, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship. We need that relationship with God. We should pray and talk with God about what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, what's active in our lives, the joys we have. We should share all of these with God. Prayer is conversation, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship with God. It's the most important relationship. All of our other relationships depend on this one.
And welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Friends, you're joining in the second segment of today's show. If you want to catch up on what we discussed in the first part of the show today, feel free to check out our podcast. You can find us wherever podcasts are found at Beyond Damascus. Beyond Damascus is a co-production here on the radio of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio. We are carried across the entire global EWTN Catholic Radio Network. And today's show, we've been focusing on this question of how to burn brightly without burning out. We're looking at this question through the lens of the parable of the 10 virgins. And Dan, we've been talking a lot about, you know, how to keep our fire burning. Scripture mm-hmm. says that we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, right? We're built to burn. And in this parable, it's, you know, one of the funny things that stood out to me is when the virgins go to the merchant who supplies the oil, right? There's this suggestion that like the whatever it is that keeps our fire burning, it's a consumable resource, right? That this isn't just something that, some are meant to burn more effectively and longer than others. It's just a gift that you get. Some are made to minister. Others are made to sit on the sidelines. And that's not the idea that we get in today's story, that each of these women, it seems, came from a place of equal standing in mm-hmm. so far as they're all ready and prepped, beautifully attired to meet the bridegroom, right? To meet the Lord. And yet some of them have something that others are lacking. And there's even a suggestion that had they been better prepared, had they worked more diligently, had they committed to a particular lifestyle that pursued a certain goal, that they too could have achieved or could have gained what it is that they're now lacking.
Oh yeah.
So the image, of course, that scripture uses is the oil, right? I wonder if it's worth maybe jumping into a conversation about what is the oil in our lives as Christians, and how do we prioritize that and fight for that?
Yeah.
That we don't end up running out of steam, right?
Yeah. Well, and just think about how tragic this this parable is, that these were people who were once burning, like they once had it. They once were on fire for the gospel. And then when the Lord came, they weren't ready for him. And like, that's just, it's, the Lord wants us to be ready, and he wants us to burn consistently for him in a kind of that bridegroom kind of intimacy. So Aaron, I want to just highlight four areas, of how we can maintain the oil, right? That can, like as you said, that consumable resource.
We'll see if
resource.
Any more come up as through the course of conversation.
I think the first one is just a bridegroom intimacy and prayer. If we're talking about the Lord, when he comes again, he wants a bridegroom kind of relationship, that he wants us to have, as I was saying before the break, that kind of marital love, where we are fully given day after day. You know, there's a difference in Greek of the different kinds of loves. I'm sure we've all heard that. The eros kind of love and the agape kind of love. And eros is that that love that's really fueled by the passions, that I'm in love with you, and there's this passion inside of me that lets me fall deeper in love with
you. My brother Peter teaches eighth grade religion class at one of our Catholic schools here in Columbus, and he texted me yesterday. He was saying, how do I describe eros love to these eighth grade students? And we were talking back and forth about C.S. Lewis and the four loves. And then he's like, I think I may have dug myself into a hole, because yesterday I referred to Eros love as kissy kissy love.
Yeah, that's digging yourself into a hole. That's hilarious. All right, so there's that kissy kissy love, right? And actually the Lord gives us that at the moment of our conversion, where we just fall deeply in love with him often.
Yeah.
And there's that moment when if any of us are married or have, like, we have that Eros kind of love with our spouse as well, where we fall in love. And that's such a good gift. It's such a treasure. But then you kind of realize that that's not, once you're living in relationship with another person, you realize there's a deeper form of love too, that agape love, which is, so if eros is marked by passion, agape is love that's marked by sacrifice, and that I'm willing to lay my life down for you. And you almost kind of see the cheapness of eros, not that it's fully cheap, right? Because there's beauty in the passion, but it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
That even through a hard day, through a rough day, through a tough mission, like at the end of the day, husbands and wives are committed to each other through the sacrifice, and it's a sustaining love that's there day after day. It's the kind of love that's made of covenant, right? That I give you my life for the rest of my life, no matter what comes. It's those wedding vows. I like to say that we should take the wedding vows that we use in the marriage ceremony and actually use it with the Lord. Like,
yeah. Well, you and Dan, you and I have done confirmation retreats forever, right?
Yeah.
And one of the skits that we like to do in our confirmation retreats, our baptismal vows are eerily similar to the marital vows, yeah. Right? That every time we profess our commitment to live in relationship and covenant with another person, whether that's our husband, our wife, or whether that is the Lord, like there's a sacramental reality to the mm-hmm. fact that these words are intentional.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we usually bring like a couple of eighth graders up on stage and we pretend to marry them in front of their peers.
Which is just beautiful and scandalous all at the same time.
Usually hilarious. And every once in a while you find the couple, like the two that actually have a crush on each other.
It's just like, whoa, it's even crowd
more,
goes wild.
It's even more awkward.
But it is. It's that baptism is so, if you will, marriage points to the sign. Yep. It's a sign. It's of the actual covenant that God has made with us. And those words, I take you to be mine. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. The Lord says those to us and we say those to him. And that's like a bridegroom intimacy that I'm not going anywhere, right? And that secret like intimacy is born through consistent day after day prayer and resting with the Lord. The Lord says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, I'll give you rest.
Yeah.
That the prayer is meant to be a place of rest. And if it's not, then go back to prayer. You know, like I think sometimes Mother Teresa, she's quoted well with saying, I do a holy hour every day, except for when I'm busy, then I do two holy hours. And I don't know if she actually did two holy hours when she was busy, but I think that the intentionality is when I have a heavy burden on my shoulders, the key in that moment is to make sure that I have a disposition of rest with the one whom I'm laboring for,
yeah.
You know, that he wants. And then that secret place of prayer, that intimacy always bears fruit as well. Like you could imagine that the intimacy of marriage, that bridegroom intimacy the Lord speaks to, it bears forth abundant fruit. And so the Lord wants that that intimacy to be the place that bears the fruit, to be the place that allows us.
Mm.
So I think first and foremost, we just need to see our prayer time as like, okay, I'm going to get the oil every day. I won't run out. It's like, what was that flask of oil? They had enough to store because they were ready to go because the Lord had been depositing in them. And that intimacy with the Lord is where we get deposit.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
You know, there is a scripture account in 1 Kings where Elijah gets burnt out. And it's funny because Elijah in 1 Kings, he's like, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He's like calling fire down from heaven, and then he stops a 7-year drought, and rain comes, and it's like these are pretty big signs and wonders. Like his ministry is pretty blessed at this point, right? Like he's able to call down fire from heaven and overcome like 400 false prophets of Baal. He's probably got a pretty big confidence at this point that God loves him. But then a few chapters later, it says that then Elijah lays down under a broom tree and falls asleep. Suddenly, right before that, it says he was afraid and he fled for his life because, you know, he calls down fire. People start getting angry. And he says, enough, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. So he's kind of at a point where he's praying for death, right? And I would say that's a ministry burnout. But it's neat because as he's there, the Lord sends an angel as he goes to sleep and he ministers to him and he fills him again. And and the Lord, like, it's okay. We're all going to fall asleep. We're all going to get to that point of burnout. But the Lord wants to fill you and to strengthen you again.
So I mentioned earlier in the show, Dan, that you and I just were able to step out of taking a little break from an all day staff retreat that we have here on campus. We've got 35 of our missionaries who are committed to being reestablished in our missionary culture. And one of the stories that you were sharing this morning with the crew was just about those first years in youth ministry. And I as you're saying this, like I remember those. it's good for us to remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
To remember when you and I were, you know, at the end of our rope.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, my goodness, how can I sustain this?
Yep.
How can I continue to live my life like this? Right. I know for you and I we have wives and families, and for much of our time and being on the road and traveling with Catholic Youth Summer Camp before it was what we now know it here at Damascus, but like there were real, true stresses on our relationships, on our marriages. And I think that it's so important that we remember those moments. And in the good times, in the times of success, in the times of victory, that we look back and remember, okay, this is where I've come from.
Mm-hmm.
That God is faithful. And then, and then we've got a story to tell, right?
Yeah.
That there's a purpose for what it is he's aligned us for.
And that's agape, and that's bridegroom intimacy. It's interesting, the Lord doesn't come back as a conquering king. He comes back as a bridegroom, it says here. And that's, so I think that mentality of like, I'm going to grind, and I'm going to be a warrior for the Lord, it only goes so far in mission. At some point, you've got to get to a point with the Lord where it's intimacy. Like, I'm with you no matter what. It's not the grind, it's the rest that I get recharged by this relationship with you. That gets me through hard times, and that's the oil.
Yesterday, I was sharing with our second year students about like King David, right? That the mark on King David's life, the reality that God referred to him as a man after my own heart, right? It wasn't the fact that he was a warrior king, though he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was a warrior king, but it was the intimacy with him that enabled that fruit to flow.
Yeah.
So the battle, you know, the battle and the drive and the conviction, like those aren't actually the fundamental component of our character.
Mm-hmm.
The fundamental component of our character is something we catch,
yeah,
in relationship with the one who is our motivation,
yeah,
who is our love.
Catholics, I pray that you're listening to this, because I think this is a challenge in the American Catholic Church right now, is that sometimes we are at battle and at war with a agenda that seems to go against us. And so we can find ourselves going on mission, trying to fight against the progressive movement or the liberal agenda. And we find ourselves
that's so funny.
At this battle.
And a word of conviction. We've been there.
Yeah. And the answer is, you'll burn out if that's all you've got. There's got to be a bridegroom intimacy where you're doing this out of a place of rest, because you're so filled with love from the bridegroom and you're so surrendered to him who he is, that you aren't just going to battle for him, but you're in marriage with him, and you're trying to transform the church to lead others into that relationship.
Yeah.
As opposed to just fighting.
If you're being convicted by these words right now, I want to take a little prayer break. And I just want to intercede, Dan and I want to intercede for you. I hope that these words, this invitation is touching your heart. And I pray, Jesus, that you'd come into the hearts of every listener who's engaged with us in today's show. Jesus, that you would remind us of those times when we're tempted to become self-reliant. And Jesus, show us again the value of what authentic relationship with you holds. Show us again the necessity of what it means to be in love with you. If those words feel awkward to us, if those words feel isolating to us, feel unattractive to us, God, I pray that you would give us a change of heart right now, and that you give us the grace to see you as the one who invites and sustains us in all things. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, that's so good. So what's that first pillar to make sure that the oil burns brightly in you? It's that bridegroom intimacy. And so just cling to that.
Amen.
Work for bridegroom intimacy with the Lord.
Amen.
And then secondly, I would say the heart of a missionary, right? That if I'm if I'm the light of the world, there's something that when I have a conversion of heart, something changes inside of my heart, right? Pope Benedict the 16th refers to that when we have an encounter with the Lord, our life is set on a new horizon, right? And that we see the world differently. A new trajectory is given to our life. And it's almost that purpose that my heart has been transformed for that I no longer live for myself, but I live for others. And, that it's not just about me and Jesus, but it's about me and Jesus and the rest of the children of God, that I want to bring as many souls as possible to Jesus. And I know that when marriage gets difficult, what is the thing that keeps people together or keeps them fighting? A lot of times it's the children, right? The children give you something to fight for, that when you see your own love manifested, if you will, John Paul II calls children the eternal bond of love between husband and wife. And to an extent, the mission, those that you serve, they're the bond of love between you and the Lord, that you see that your coworkers that you've been trying to bring to the Lord for years, and you're tired and you're burnt out. You're like, how can I keep going, Lord, on mission? Well, it's like, see them with a missionary heart, that they're the children of God, and that the Lord just wants you to pour yourself out for them. Mm-hmm. And that God wants to keep our heart focused on others. I think when our heart loses its focus on others, we start to burn out. I think it's really possible too, that heart that becomes hardened to the fact that the stakes are really high here, right? That there's, that the bridegroom's going to come again, and there will be some who are ready for him, and there will be some who aren't ready for him. And so if I keep that in mind day after day, my heart breaks for those who aren't ready for him. Like, I want as many people to come into this banquet as possible. And so in flowing forth from that bridegroom intimacy comes this missionary heart that just says, Lord, let me help you as much as possible to get people to heaven.
Yeah. I think this is a good word from the small scale and from the large scale, right? Here at Damascus, you know, we have the tremendous blessing and opportunity to be able to minister to 10,000 kids every year on our campus, right? But even through this radio show, like, right, we get to minister to hundreds of thousands of people who tune in and who listen to these words. It's so necessary that every time we walk on stage, every time we prepare to give a message, every time we turn on these microphones, mm-hmm. that we remember that our motivation is for the love of the souls that we are charged with pastoring through this, for stewarding through this. At the same time, it's impossible for me to live out my call as a dad if I don't constantly remind myself of the responsibility that I have to truly love my children, right? Just yesterday morning, we're potty training our youngest. And
it's always fun.
She's finally come to the place where we're making it through the full night without a diaper for the first time. And this probably isn't the first time this has happened. This is the first time that I've had the great pleasure of dealing with it since we've started doing diaper-free evenings. But yesterday morning, Felicity woke up with a wet bed, and it was a beautiful reminder to me that, because you know, my motivation before I opened the door was love and mercy. I was so excited to hear her voice when she spoke in the morning. And then I walked over to her room, and when she said, you know, I've got a mess for you to clean up, I didn't get upset, right? I didn't get frustrated. And this, I have gotten frustrated before, right? Uh-huh. I've gotten upset in the past. And it was such a beautiful like reminder to me that, hey, when my heart is oriented toward a love of another, all of a sudden my mission becomes possible.
Yeah.
Like my mission becomes sweet.
Yeah.
Even the times that require sacrifice. Mm,
that's so good. Yeah. So I would say if you're experiencing burnout, let the oil of mission just burn in you, right? That just to say like, Lord, give me a heart for your people again. Like, give me a heart for the salvation of souls again. Like, let me just burn for a desire to bring people to you. Like, what you can't fake passion that you meet some people and you hear, like, some people are just so on fire for the gospel, and it's there's something about evangelization that has to come from something's burning inside of you, and you can't put that inside of yourself. I can't force myself to be passionate. And so I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, fill me with a passion for souls. Fill me with a love for your people, because that only comes from you, right? Like, I can't fake that. And so let the Lord fill you with an oil that cares about others, and you just want them to be with Jesus forever in heaven. Like, if I've fallen in love with him and he's loved me, I want to share that love with others. Amen. Because it's that important.
Amen. So we've promised four pieces today, four ways that we actually keep our lamps filled. The first was seeking fullness in the intimacy of prayer.
Yeah.
Actually seeking, you know, sometimes we think of this as a Protestant thing and not a Catholic thing, but seeking relationship with Jesus, right? It's critical. It's part of our sacramental language. It's part of who we are as Christians. And second is to seek a heart for the people that God's given us charge over, to hunger for souls.
Yeah. Thirdly, it's a very practical, we need community, right? Like there's something about the fact that when Jesus sent his disciples out, he sent them out in twos, because there's, it's really hard to do mission by yourself.
Yep.
And Jesus knew that. And that's why he called people to himself. He didn't do it alone. And he's the Son of God. And he called, when he sends people out, he sends them out together. I love in Acts, because there's actually intentionality behind this. It says when Apollos in Acts 18:27, it says when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. There was almost like an intentionality that, hey, I'm going somewhere to serve on mission. I need to make sure there's community there so that when I go, I'm ready to go, you know? I think it's important to ask ourselves, well, are there people that the Lord has me to work with so I don't feel alone? And do I need to co-labor with some people?
That's awesome. I'm going to risk, annoying you by saying again, we just stepped out of an amazing missionary
retreat. I don't know if you know this, but Aaron was really built up this morning. Praise the Lord.
And one of the changes in language even that we've adopted here is that we are intentionally committed not to referring to ourselves as, you know, a mission, a business, a ministry business, a social entrepreneurship, right? That the apostolate of Damascus is fundamentally it's a community of missionaries that is on mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that outside of the people that God's called to this assignment, there is no assignment.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting, because I think the parish, the Catholic parish, needs to start thinking of themselves as that as well, right? That we are a community that is on mission. I just love Pope Francis's, he talked about the church is a community of missionary disciples. And so if the church, this is like a bold statement. What is the church? The church is a community. And what kind of community is the church? One that is missionary disciples, that it flows forth from community. And so we couldn't, without community, we can't sustain missionary discipleship. And we have to be the right kind of community. So the parable of the 10 virgins, there's five who are wise and there are five who are foolish. So they're all in community together, right? It's not like there was the group of the foolish over here and the group of the wise over here. They were actually one community. It was just in that community, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. So what does that say to me? It says, be careful who you hang out with and who you listen to, even in your own parish community, that there could be some who are foolish and they've been misled by a false gospel of worldliness, and they're taking the world and they're conforming the gospel to the world as opposed to allowing the gospel to change their heart. And so I bet the five wise pushed each other. They encouraged each other. They sharpened each other. Iron sharpens iron, right? But if you're not iron, you're not going to sharpen iron. I said the other day, feathers don't sharpen feathers, right? Like two feathers just touch each other. And so if the five wise people are just, if their iron sharpen each other, the five foolish are just five feathers whacking at each other. And that's not, it's not going to make you better. So if you're hanging out with feathers, right, go find some iron so that you get sharpened.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. We're gonna move to a break here in just a moment. But once again, we're looking at from the lens of the parable of the 10 virgins. We're asking this question: how do we burn brightly without burning out? And as we kind of realize that in order to keep our lamps burning, they need to consume a fuel, right? That the Lord wants to provide for us a way for this to be possible in our lives. He does it through intimacy and relationship with Him. He does it through conviction in the hearts of others. And Dan, you want to summarize that third point one more time?
Yeah, just community, that we need to be a community of wise that sharpens each other as opposed to a community of foolish people.
So through intimacy, through community, and through a passion for the mission that He's given us, we can enter into a place, friends, where we're actually capable of doing this well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this break with the final point for how it is that we can actually engage in a life of intimacy with the Lord, of burning brightly without burning out. Join us here on Beyond Damascus in just a few short moments.
Each person has dignity and worth, not because of his physical abilities or occupation, not because of her skin color or status. Each person is valuable, not because of his productivity or age, but because we are human, created by God in His own image and likeness, and neither economics nor emotions should alter the length of each person's gift to humanity.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Unplanned.
Available at EWTNRC.com and the EWTN app.
And welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Thanks again for joining us today, friends. Beyond Damascus is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio. We are carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, recorded here in the beautiful, illustrious Damascus Media Studio. This is the third segment of today's show, and man, what an awesome reflection it's been. I hope that you've been inspired through joining us today. We're looking at the parable of the 10 virgins, and we're asking that question: how is it that we as individuals called to a life of mission can burn brightly without burning out? We've talked about how intimacy and relationship with Jesus, how commitment and love of the people we're called to serve, and how commitment and love to the people we're called to serve with are three of those critical components. Mm-hmm. And Dan's going to round us off right now with the fourth and final piece. And then we're gonna pray to get you out the door.
Yeah, I mean, let's not over spiritualize this.
Yeah.
The fourth piece is order in your personal life. that it's easy to make in church world everything very flowery and very spiritual. But over and over again, you see people who have disordered lives, they burn out. I'm sure you've seen ministers of the gospel or people who their life isn't attractive and it's not burning because they're scattered and they're all over the place. And it's the Lord wants us to actually like be fueled by having personal order, making sure our calendar is healthy, making sure I have a friend who said, if your prayer life's out of order, clean your room, right? Like that chances are that your prayer life's out of order because your bedroom's out of order, or your prayer life's out of order because your car's out of order. And so when things feel like chaos, it may be because there's chaos in your life.
That's awesome. We talk about, natural and spiritual desolation sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you shared a great testimony. Forgive me if I'm encroaching on your personal life too much.
Feel free to share. Where's this going?
This is a testimony I heard from a friend once. Uh-huh. just being in a place of like feeling spiritually and mentally and emotionally exhausted and not knowing what was going on. And then your lovely wife asked if you'd been drinking enough water.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's just the simple stuff that we've got to put into order in our life. Discipline exists for a reason.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of times here at Damascus, we love to welcome in, our missionaries that we work with on a daily basis. Oftentimes you see a marked difference in individuals who've come from high school or who've come from college. You know, we love them. We love them both, of course, but it's apparent to us that there's a certain mentality that happens when you've been forced to build a schedule.
Yep.
Not that happens necessarily for all of us in college.
Well, I have a personal annoyance with going through computer files to find the file I want. So I tend to overcrowd my desktop because I like files quick at hand.
I can affirm that.
Yes. And so I always know that when I'm getting stressed out at work, it's usually like, oh, I just need to stop and clean up my desktop. And then, and once my desktop's clean, boom, I'm ready to refocus again. And I think there's a lot of times that's such a natural thing. It has nothing to do with the spiritual life. But if I don't take time to organize a to-do list, to organize a desktop, to keep like my mission clean, then it's you can burn out and you can feel like things are wrong when they're not really wrong. You just have to have order. And most importantly, Sabbath, right? That like the Lord, if the Lord rested on the seventh day, we need to rest. Like that there's got to be an intentional time of rest. So the Lord's not asking us, to like, if you go back to the sun, right? Like the sun burns brightly, but the sun also has moments where it's rising and it's setting. And even in our own weekly life, we need to have moments where we rise and we set, right? Yeah. To be refreshed and recharged and know how you Sabbath best to be recharged for the sake of mission. Yeah.
That's awesome. And friends, we can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
These things can be accomplished in our life in a way that's meaningful and upbuilding. So just to round it off one more time, the difference between the virgins that enjoyed that place of connection with the Lord, the heroes of the story, and the ones that got turned away and left behind. It wasn't that they were born with it, right? It was that they did some practical things. And I think that if we can commit ourselves to some practical things, we can find ourselves in a place where we can be a ministry success story instead of a warning to future generations.
Yeah.
Right. What does it mean? It means identifying an intentional time to seek intimacy with the heart of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are more convicted about the work that you're called to do than the one for whom you're called to do it or the one with whom you're called to do it, here's an invitation to reorient your heart,
mm-hmm.
right? To resolve that, Lord, inspire me for the impact, for the souls that you intend to move. Sometimes, I know I work here at Damascus as our director for operations. Sometimes it's easy to not see the face of the person that you're serving. Jesus, inspire us with the fact that the work that we do is valuable. Why? Because you've called us to change the world, to do it with a community, to realizing, Lord, you've called us in such a way that we're called to labor together. And finally, to work on those simple disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story would have been different if when they had gone to the merchant that afternoon, the girls had just thought ahead and said, I'm going to buy two canisters of oil, right? That would have been a simple process. And maybe if they'd put their agenda together for that day, they would have figured that out.
Mm.
You know, that's our invitation. Friends, I want to thank you for joining us for today's show. Once again, I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. If you want to hear what it is that we talked about today, again, if you want to be reminded of this or to share it with a friend, check us out wherever podcasts can be found at Beyond Damascus. The title of the show is Beyond Damascus. And we want to give a special shout out again to St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio. God bless you and have a great day.